Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Hebrews, please. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6 this morning. Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 this morning. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. I'll read aloud as you read silently. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's word as we read the word of God together. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these series of messages we've been having on Sunday morning. I pray that you would anoint Pastor Johnson with thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead. Father, we're needy people this morning. We need to hear from heaven. God, please work in our lives. Help us today. Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that saved them from their sin, that today they would trust him to do that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Being seated this morning, would you please make sure all your electronic devices are either turned off or to vibrate for me, and double check and make sure that is the case, so they will not go off during the service. If your cell phone goes off during the service, a hole will open underneath your seat, and you will be swallowed up with Dathan and Abiram directly into the pit. So you don't want that to happen. It'll singe all your clothes. So be careful if you would. And of course, I'm going to ask you now to sit very still and listen very carefully for these next few moments. These last few Sundays, we've been preaching a series of messages on one three-letter word, and the word is let. First Sunday, we talked about let it go. Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking with all malice be put away from you. Let the bitterness go, friend. Bitterness is the only chemical to destroy its own container. With the grace of God and the right kind of forgiveness in life, you can let it go. You don't have to live that way. Last week, we talked to you about let it be. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Christian, dear friend, learn to let peace rule and reign in your heart and life. And we talked about how to do that last week. This week, it's Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1. Look at the verse again with me this morning, please. And would you notice the statement here? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, here it is, let us go on unto perfection. You know what the word perfection in the Bible means? It means maturity. It's not necessarily talking about being perfect without flaws. None of us are going to get there. By the way, we're not going to get there with a low standard of living either. But the Bible, the word perfection means maturity. It means completeness. So the message this morning is, let's grow up. Let's grow up. That's what he's talking about. Let us go on unto perfection. Way too many ladies are elbowing their husbands right now. I don't know what that means. But let's grow up. Let's go ahead and grow up. Let's go on unto perfection. In other words, let's mature. You know, it's interesting. In the Bible, the Christian life, in the Bible, the Christian life is likened to human development. For instance, you have birth, you have childhood, you have adolescence, then you have adulthood. The Christian life is likened to that. Example, Jesus said in John chapter 3 that you had to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. You will not go to heaven without a spiritual birth. And he likened it to your physical birth. As you're born of water and of the Spirit, the Bible said, so you must be born of water and spirit to go to heaven. It's not talking about water baptism. It's talking about the Word of God. It's talking about how that without the Bible and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, there will be no spiritual birth. But the analogy of physical birth and spiritual birth is very important to understand this morning, especially in light of what we're going to talk about today, about maturing as an individual. You see, you had nothing to do with your birth into this life. It's always funny how we make a big deal out of our birthdays. I just did that, got a lot of nice birthday presents. See, why do you do that? Because you get birthday presents. What do you think you do it for? I want everybody to know how old I am. I don't care. Make a difference to me. You get stuff. That's why. And then we're going to talk about growing up. But anyway, the truth of the matter is somewhat of a hypocrisy involved in that. But just somewhat, not too much. But the truth of the matter is you had nothing to do with your physical birth. You had nothing to do with your conception, nothing to do with your birth. You were brought into this life with no participation on your part whatsoever. That's why Jesus said you had to have a spiritual birth likened to your physical birth. Now hear me very carefully this morning. Nobody, but nobody, but nobody is growing to salvation. Nobody. You were born into this life with no participation on your part whatsoever. You were conceived with no participation on your part. You were born into this life with no participation on your part whatsoever. You were given birth to come into this life. You must have a spiritual birth that is similar to your physical birth. You have to have a salvation that you have no part in. No works of any kind. You cannot earn salvation. You didn't work your way into this life, and you don't work your way into eternal life either. You have to have a spiritual birth that comes from realizing the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation, eternal life, it's a gift. People were so kind to give me cards and gifts of all different sorts of things for my birthday. I didn't earn any of those gifts. They paid for them, gave them to me. I did not deserve them, nor am I worthy of them, but I will take them. But the truth of the matter is, I had no part in that whatsoever. Your spiritual birth, listen to me, if you are a Christian today, it is not because you earned it, you deserved it, you got baptized for it, you joined a church to get there, because you live like a Christian, because you earned the life of a child of God. You do not get born again because you do something. You are born again because God did something. And God did that through Jesus Christ when he died for you on the cross to pay for your sins. Spiritual birth is how you start the process of Christian development and growth. We're going to talk about growing up as a child of God this morning, but let's be very clear to start with. You are born into the family of God by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you had no part in that. Jesus paid the price for that. He paid for it a bloody death on the cross in an empty tomb after his resurrection. Jesus paid for the gift of eternal life. You received that gift. And listen, now you have to have a, and by the way, the spiritual birth means there has to be an event where you are born into the family of God. There has to be a time. Now you may not remember the day or the date. I don't remember the date of my salvation. I remember I was about 9 years of age. I remember I happened to be in church at the time, which is not necessary, but I happened to have been in church at the time. I heard the gospel that Jesus died for me and paid for my sins. I needed to trust Christ in order to go to heaven. And I know I needed that. I realized I was going to hell without Christ. 9 years old. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't remember the day or the date, but friend, I remember the event of my salvation. I don't care whether you tingled or not, or whether you glowed or you flowed, or you stood up or you heard angel wings. It'll make any difference. If all that happened, that's well, fine, and good. What's most important is, do you remember a specific event of where you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you asked him to save you? If you have that, you have salvation this morning, because everyone who is born has a date of their birth, and everyone who is born again has the event where they trusted Christ. Do you have that today? If you do not have that, the rest of this message will not apply to you today. You need to settle the matter of salvation and trust Christ this morning and be born into the family of God. Then, listen, then once you are born again, you have passed the stage of birth. Now, as with a person, a human being, their growth and development is essential. They have to grow from childhood to adolescence to adulthood. And that's what he's saying here when he says, let us go on unto perfection. He's saying we need to grow up. Look at me. We need to be careful to not get stuck at a certain stage or level of our Christian life. We need to make sure we continue to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the word grow in 2 Peter 3:18 is the same word. It means to grow up. It means to develop. It means to increase. It means to add. It means to grow like a plant grows. It means to grow like a human being grows. Let's accept the challenge to grow as a child of God. Let us go on to perfection. Let us grow up. Now, look at Hebrews 6 and 1 again. To grow up, you have to do two things. Look at the verse. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us grow on to perfection. The rest of the verse, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You have to leave some things, the Bible says, and you have to stop laying down some foundational things. Now listen very carefully. It means, ladies and gentlemen, to grow on, you have to learn in your life. There's some things you need to leave behind. There's some things you need to put behind you, and there's some things you need to get away from and leave behind you in your life. And then there's some things in our life we need to quit wasting time on. You notice what he said in the verse, laying again the foundation. We're going to talk about the foundation of these things in a moment. The things he mentions are good things. But they'd already been laid in that person's life. He said, stop wasting your time doing the same stuff over and over and over, and stop wasting time. You can't grow, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't leave some things behind. How sad it would be to see a 40-year-old man walking around with a pacifier in his mouth. Now, I've seen people do it to help get over smoking. I've seen the ring. You've seen the ring pacifiers that they wear? And when they get an urge, they start sucking on that pacifier. I've seen grown people working on pacifiers before to quit smoking. Whatever it takes to quit it, just do it. That's fine. But how sad it would be to see a grown woman in their life still wearing little girl's clothes. Some of them do it today, but it's a different kind of a fashion. We won't go into that this morning. But the truth of the matter is, there are certain things you have to leave behind. Could you imagine an 80-year-old man playing in a sandbox? Could you imagine? You look at a person doing something out of their age category and we say, man, what if they get behind? What are they doing with that for? There's some things you need to learn to leave behind. There are some things you need to learn to stop wasting time on. Because look, folks, look, just like that, we get past the childhood, the adolescent years, we're into adult life, and the next thing you know, some of us still think we're teenagers. Friday night, we were with the teens in our youth activity. We were out there with them. And I was playing basketball with some of the boys. Now, first of all, it's hilarious to play basketball with these little skinny boys. One of them, Brother Lewis's son, Jared, I forgot about his jaw thing. Scared me half to death. He came running in toward the basket, passed the ball off like that. And I saw he was going to run into him, so I just turned my back to him. I'm not taking this in the face. And he hit me like a brick. I mean, boom, like a brick wall. But bit through his tongue, by the way. Sorry about that. And then stood there with his tongue for a few minutes. You know, after a while, I found out something. At 55 years old, I can't play basketball like I used to when I was 14 or 15 years of age. I'm better. I'm a lot smarter. I can't jump as high, but I got a lot more brains than I had when I was 15 years of age. You know, the truth of the matter is you got to stop wasting time on things. If we're going to grow up, we've got to leave some things and we've got to stop wasting time. Got to stop giving up the time that God has given us in our lives. Now, what are the areas we need to grow up in? Number one, we need to grow up in the area of doctrine. Notice what it says in verse 1 very carefully. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That does not mean give up what you believe about Christ. It means the things that are principle about Christ, okay? Did you know Jesus is virgin born? That Jesus lived a sinless life. That Jesus died upon the cross. That Jesus rose from the grave. That Jesus ascended back to heaven. Did you know that? Now, can I ask you a question? How have you grown in your understanding and the doctrine about who Jesus is? The cults of our day today, and they are myriad. There are so many of them now. The cults of our day, religious cults of our day, are literally scooping up Christians by the fistfuls, not because what they say is right, but because we don't know what we believe. We need to grow up in our doctrine. Don't leave what you've been taught that's biblical and right. Don't leave that. Add to it. You see what he says there? Look, read on in the verse now carefully. Follow this. Notice what he says. He says, and then not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Is that a bad thing? No, repentance from dead works, that's a good thing. follow. And he says, and of faith toward God. Should you leave your faith toward God? No. He's saying, don't lay the foundation. You've already got faith in God. That's good. Now have you built on that foundation? And of the doctrine of baptism. Is baptism a good thing? Yes. Will it save? No. Is it a step of obedience in the life of the child of God? Yes. Do you know the difference between the two? The doctrine of the Bible will teach you this. He's not saying leave these things out. He's saying quit. What you know about Jesus, have you added to that at all? Have you grown in your doctrine and understanding of what the Bible says? See, folks, look at me this morning. That's why, Sunday morning Christian friend, you're hurting yourself in your spiritual life and in your doctrinal understanding. There's two ways you get increase your doctrine. Number one, you read the Bible. That's why this church invested the money it did to send these New Testaments. We want people just to have a Bible and read it. Just read it. People criticize it. They mock it. They belittle it. They tear it down. And the average person has never read the Bible. I remember witnessing to an atheist on an airplane one time. Said, oh, the Bible's just a bunch of fairy tales. Just a composition of a bunch of ideas and thoughts and storytelling. It's all it is. And I asked him, I said, have you ever read it? Just cover to cover one time. Have you ever read the Bible? He goes, not necessary. I said, so it's necessary for you to criticize, but you have no idea what you're talking about. He says, well, have you ever read it? And I said, well, yes, sir, I've read it several times in my life. 57 times to be exact. I said, but you can't criticize something you've never read before. I said, I think, sir, maybe what your problem is, you're scared of what the Bible actually says. Could that be it? I'm not afraid of anything. I tell you what, you give me your address, I'll send you a copy of the Bible. Just read it. That's how you increase your doctrine. You just read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Number two, you go to church where the Bible is preached and taught. Now, look here, folks. I'm not here to get anybody away from their church this morning. Shasta Baptist Church is not the only church in America to go to. It's the only church in this area I would go to. But it's not the only church in America to go to. But why are we wasting our time in churches today? They're all about entertainment. That's what you're getting. You're getting entertained. They got multi-$1,000 light shows and productions and programs and all the stuff that they have in churches. Nothing but a Hollywood show. Nothing but a Las Vegas nightclub. And about 3 seconds of the Bible. And you get up and walk out and you felt like you were entertained, but you were not exhorted. No one got up and preached the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. That wasn't done. We don't go to Sunday school. We got rid of the Sunday school hour in our churches. We have one here. We're always going to have one. And all it takes is for you to back up your schedule 1 hour on Sunday morning. 1 hour on Sunday morning. Come and sit in a Sunday school class and learn some things from the Bible. Look, read the Bible. Go to a church where the Bible is central at what goes on. This church is that way. Central at what goes on, and learn and listen and let the Word of God teach you what you should be believing. Well, I can make up my own mind, Pastor Johnson. Yeah, that's why we're as confused as termites and yo-yos today. Because we're making up our own mind about essential things about life after death and life here. And what we do, that book's full of everything. That's all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That book's got everything in it. One book in the Bible, the book of Proverbs, in the middle of this book. We took 9 years in my Sunday school class and went through that book verse by verse. 31 chapters of the wisdom of life. In one book, there's 65 others, one book he put in here. This book is just filled with the wisdom, and it's the Word of God. We need to grow up. Well, I believe in Jesus. Wonderful. Do you even know who he is? Did you know that before he was born of a virgin, he was preexistent as God the Son? Do you realize that Jesus Christ is God the Son? That God has manifested himself in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one person, three person, one God. Don't understand that, Pastor Johnson. Good. That means you have a God bigger than your finite peanut understanding. It means he's bigger than our minds and our realization. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much that God has for us in life about who he is. What does he want from us? What does he expect from us? The Sunday school lesson in my class this morning was how to have and find contentment in life. Can you imagine people today? They're going to do everything on the planet to try and find contentment in their life. And you missed it by 45 minutes. These Sunday school classes we have here for your children, by the way. And Mom and Dad, you listen to me this morning. If the devil snaps up your kids because they don't know any better than what the Bible teaches them and you didn't give them a chance to learn that, that's your fault. Now, if you live in a place, there's a lot of places in this world people don't have a church to go to. That's not the case in Redding, California. That's not the case in the United States of America. It's the most gospel-rich nation on this planet. I'm not advocating any old church and any old place will work, but I'm telling you this morning, friend. It's time for us to grow up in our doctrine, what we know and understand about the Bible. Say, well, I don't know a lot about the Bible. Okay, that's not bad, but if you continue that way, that's what's wrong. But I'm a new Christian, Pastor Johnson. You know it's not bad to be a new Christian? That's wonderful to be a new Christian. I love new Christians. They haven't been messed with yet. Nobody's gossiped to them yet. Nobody's interfered with their living yet. Nobody's interfered with their life yet. I love new Christians. You know it's not wrong to be a new Christian? It's just wrong to stay that way. Listen, friend, if you have the same knowledge and understanding of the Word of God now as you have always had in your life, we need to grow up in these areas of doctrine. And you read your Bible and you go to church. There's church tonight. There's church on Wednesday night. Oh, I don't have the kind of time to do that. Pastor Johnson, come on now. Look at me this morning. Come on now. We don't have the time or we don't want to take the time. But we'll go over there and sit in line for 45 minutes to launch a boat at Whiskey Town or Shasta if you can get to the water. Launch a boat. Go out and putt around the lake. Spending $7-$8 a gallon on the gas it costs you these days. Spend hours. And there's nothing wrong with those things in their place and at their time. Why do we not have a problem with that? What's the deal? Come on, man. Duck season's coming up. Any duck hunters in here? We're willing to get up, fight the rain and the cold. It's only good duck hunting weather is windy, cold, wet, red. That's it. We're going to go out there and walk around and duck blind just to bless Daffy and his mama out of the sky. And I'm okay with that. If they didn't fly, we shouldn't have to shoot them. But they do, so let's let them have it. I'm all right with all that kind of stuff. Animal, Hebrew, the word Hebrew animal in the Bible is target. I mean, it's all right with that. I'm not against hunting. But the truth, I know that, forgive me. But the truth of the matter is, why does it have to be, that's not a problem with us, but we can't get back to church on Sunday night. Are you listening? We need to grow up in the era of our doctrine. Number two, we need to grow up in the era of our decisions. Let us go on into perfection. We have to make a decision. Have you ever made a decision and you were sure you were right, but you found out you were dead wrong? Here's the illustration, a story I haven't told here in a long time. My wife and I were first married. We used to go to these video arcade places. Only been to a couple of them, to be honest with you. And we went to this one. It was in Sacramento. We went in there and played this video games. And this was way back when video games were really hokey. You know, Pong and stuff like that. I mean, there wasn't much to them. And we were coming out of this video arcade place, my wife and I, as we stepped out the doorway, opened the door. Gentleman always lets the lady go first. She steps out the doorway, short sidewalk, and makes an immediate right turn this way. As we stepped out, I looked straight ahead, and there were these trampoline pits. And instead of them being the trampoline being above ground, they had lowered them into the ground so you could just walk right off the ground onto the trampoline pit and jump up and down. There's about eight of them or so in this fenced-in area. As we stepped out the door, and my wife stepped this way, she began to turn down the sidewalk. As I walked, I'm watching people in the trampoline pits. Over in a corner is this guy. He must have weighed 300, 400 pounds. And he starts bouncing up and down on this trampoline. And I'm thinking, I know what's going to happen. And he started going sideways. And I thought, he's going to take out about 12 feet of chain link fence. And I want to watch. And so, as we're walking this way, I see my wife, blonde hair out of the corner of my eye. We're walking this way. I'm looking over here, watching the guy, bonga, 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 bonga. And he, you think he would stop and give himself a break. No, he went higher and higher. And I thought, he's going to go over the fence and take out the Volkswagen sitting on the other side of the fence. And I want to see that too. And so I see in the corner of my eye, I said, we're walking. So and I step up to the fence, and I see her step up with me. Step up to the fence. I'm watching the guy, boom, boom, boom. He hits the fence. Oh, there we go. Put my arm around her, said, come on, honey, let's go. We step back, and we start walking. Take about three steps, and she starts pulling back on my arm. And I looked down at her and said, what's the matter? And it wasn't my wife. She had just walked off, and I stepped up to the fence to a totally strange woman I'd never seen before, put my arm around her and said, come on, honey, let's go. Now, that's funny now. But the look on my wife's face standing over there was not funny. She's just standing there. I said, oh, ma'am, excuse me. I'm sorry. I go, honey, I never seen that woman in my life. I don't know. She's the fish. Did you see the fat guy over there? And I said, ma'am, excuse me. I was, listen, babe, no, really, here's some money on my credit cards, please. I never seen that lady in my life. I had no idea, absolutely no idea. Totally innocent decision. Totally innocent. Completely wrong. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, you know, we just try to make wise decisions in life. Can I ask you, do you know how to make a wise decision? You go to make a decision. Every decision we make in life has the potential to alter our life. Even the simplest decisions, even the smallest decisions we make in life can alter our lives. Jesus gave us priorities by which to live. A long list of about 52 priorities. Nope, he gave us two priorities. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus gave us two priorities by which to live. Number one, do what is the kingdom of God. In the Bible, that means do God's will. Number two, do the right thing. How do you know God's will, Pastor Johnson? That goes back to the book now. This book right here is the will of God. Everything we need to know is in this book. It covers every decision in our lives. And if it doesn't mention it specifically, it covers it by principle to cover every decision in life. Do the will of God, friend. Do God's will. Make sure it's according to God's word before you make a decision. Don't make a decision and hope it's right. Make a decision because it is right and stay with it. Follow God's will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Number two, his righteousness simply means what's the right thing to do? Well, that's a subjective matter, Pastor Johnson. You know, you got your situational ethics, and there are certain circumstances where right would be right, and then another situation where wrong would be wrong. Who's been messing with you? Who has messed with your mind and your thinking that right and wrong are subjective? They are not subjective to circumstances or conditions. Now, friend, listen to me. Listen to me, right is right, wrong is wrong. The Bible tells us what that is, and you go by the right thing. Well, that's not always easy. No, it isn't easy, but it beats going by the simplistic philosophy of following my flesh instead of the Word of God. Now, look here, wrong is always going to be easier up front, always. That's why more people do wrong than do right, because wrong is always easier at the beginning. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. We're seeing the change of the seasons right now. Isn't it beautiful? The blast furnace's doors closed. Nice cool days. This is beautiful. This time of year, I think, is one of my favorite times of year. And then autumn comes with a change. We'll see, but they don't last very long. Pretty soon it'll be cold and wet. And if you want snow at your house, I hope God gives you 42 feet right in your front yard. But the truth is, those seasons, they come and they go, don't they? And the pleasure of sin is for a season. It comes and it goes. So yeah, it's easier to do wrong than do right up front to begin with. But you listen to me, friend. But it always makes you pay at some point. And it's usually at the end. And when you have nothing left to pay, then sin demands its greatest price. Because sin takes you where you never intended to go, keeps you longer than you intended to stay, and makes you pay a price you can't afford. Now, righteousness makes you pay up front. You have to pay for righteousness up front. But the benefits, they come in as they go with God, and he blesses. And oh my, that's so much more better. And the reason it's so much more better is because his blessings have no consequences to them. So Jesus said two priorities, do the will of God and do the right thing. Just told you how to make every decision in your life. The Bible has told us how to make every decision in our lives. Yet how much of our lives has been affected, and how much of our lives will be altered because we will make decisions like children do. You know the dumb stuff you did when you were a kid, and you get together with your brothers and your sisters at reunions, and you go, hey, remember when we used to, remember how funny it was now and how close to death you were then? But you didn't have any idea because, you know, you were young and stupid. Now we're old and stupid, but we were young and stupid at that time. And then what happens to us? Because we didn't have the maturity of grow up in your decision making. It will not be politically correct, and it will not be convenient, But my friend, it will always have greater benefit to decide, I'm going to do God's will and do the right thing in this thing. That will set your course of actions for your life. You probably won't get employee of the week out of the deal, and nobody's probably going to invite you over to their house to sit down with them and tip the bottle. But the truth of the matter is, when you're done, you won't have a life of regrets and mistakes and alter your life because of decisions. Let's grow up. Let's grow up in our decision making. And lastly this morning, let's grow up in our dedication. We commit ourselves to be involved in things that take us away from our walk with God, take us away from our families, take away from our church. And then we wonder why we're not getting where we're supposed to be. Ladies and gentlemen, God set it for us to go. If you want to go to Los Angeles, you can head north to get there from here. But man, have you taken the long way around. You are headed a long journey you could have made in a much shorter period of time. What is it about our lives where we decide, you know, I'm just gonna try this for a while. Quit sampling life. Quit treating life like it's something at Costco at those end of the aisle things with the toothpicks in them. We'll go around and sample this thing. Well, the other day they did something over there. They put them all together in one section. And you could just make a big loop and go all the way around. I was doing laps. I mean, it was great. Just let me hit that one again. And going around and hit that again. The truth of the matter is we commit ourselves to things that take us away from what's right in our lives and what we know we should do, and then we wonder why we don't get the best of life. Because look at me. Because of what are you dedicated to? Come on, right now you're wondering, did I set the TiVo for the football game this morning? Boy, what about this $700 billion bailout the government wants to bail all these institutions out with? $700 billion. What about that? Did I turn on the stove for lunch today? We find ourselves dedicated to things that are not going to make a difference for eternity and forever and will not improve our lives and the lives of other people, really. And we wonder why life doesn't get any better. So interesting in this election here to listen to these politicians. You think the whole country was going down the tubes. And every one of them an elected official who had their chance and didn't do very good with it either. So what they need is a bigger office. You know, the truth of the matter is, dear people, if you stopped the carnal and fleshly things of life, that's good. But there is something else, you know. Well, I don't get drunk anymore, Pastor Johnson. Hey, that's great. That's a good thing to hear. Sober, living right. Man, that's good stuff. Did you know there's something else besides that? Did you know there's something else God would have and expect of you? The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5, add to your faith. We need to realize something. Okay, so I don't kill anyone anymore. That's good. How about something else besides that one? Well, I really got my temper under control now. Things are much better. Wonderful, fantastic. Now then, can I ask you a question? What have you dedicated yourself to do with your life? The life that God gave you. Years ago, someone once said, your life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to God. What have you dedicated your life to do? I've dedicated my life to eradicate global warming, Pastor Johnson. That's what I'm dedicating my life to do. Okay, fine. Question. What have you dedicated yourself to do with your life? What occupies your time? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, it's time to grow up and realize we're dedicating ourselves to things that are not going to even outlast our own lifetime. Seriously, look at me. If you know everything about the TV guide schedule for today and you haven't read your Bible, wouldn't you say your priorities are a little mixed up? We have dedicated ourselves to something that, frankly, is it really going to matter 10 years from now? We need to grow up in what we have dedicated ourselves to. What really matters to us? Well, I'll tell you what, that job of mine. Thank God for people who work. Thank God. Work's not a four-letter word. It's not a bad four-letter word. It's a good one. Thank God for people who work in labor. Can I ask you a question? Is your job your God? Are you so dedicated to your job that you can't come back to church on a Sunday night because you got to go home and rest? I never thought sitting in church on a Sunday night was so tiring. Boy, some people, bless their heart, they're wore out. They can't sit in a pew or a chair for a Sunday night for 45 minutes or an hour. Amazing how tiring it is to sit in church. What have we dedicated ourselves to? You see, we need to grow up and realize what's done for God lasts forever. And what's done in accordance with His Word is eternal. What's done for this life and me and mine, that's not going to outlive you. Maybe one generation past that. Let's go on to perfection, the Bible says. Are you doing the same things you've always done in your Christian life? Good. But have you added to anything lately? Have you added something there and put something to what you have to add to your faith so you can grow on as a Christian, as a child of God?